Eclipse Aviation partially clarifies reports of layoffs. The pilot who hit a condo in Canada Friday is identified. And the Air Force will punish 70 in its nuke scandal. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, October 22, 2007. Eclipse Aviation is taking pains to clarify earlier reports regarding layoffs and staff reductions announced Friday morning in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Early reports in local media had said up to 10% of the Eclipse workforce was handed walking papers. Eclipse says the majority of the job cuts, reported as somewhere between 100 and 150, applied to temporary workers and contractors employed by a single agency. Only a small percentage of Eclipse employees with health benefits were affected. Company spokesman Andrew Broom told KOB-TV the layoffs were in positions necessary to start production on the aircraft, but no longer needed. CEO Vern Rayburn told ANN the layoffs will not have a negative impact on production. Albuquerque Mayor Martin Chavez stressed the workers affected in the layoffs should be able to find work shortly. Quote, "They are contractors, and it's what they do for a living. The job base in Albuquerque is really rich right now, so they'll be fine," unquote. Canada's CTV News reports that the elderly pilot, whose twin-engine Piper Seneca hit the ninth floor of a condo building in Richmond, British Columbia, was a 60-year pilot with two other incidents in the past 10 years. 82-year-old pilot Peter Garrison died in that latest crash on Friday. Investigators said the Seneca was rebuilt after a landing gear collapse in February of 06. Garrison was involved in another crash in 1998 in Bellingham, Washington, just south of the border with British Columbia. Garrison learned to fly while serving with the Royal Air Force during the Second World War and had reportedly made eight Atlantic crossings in his Seneca. The six-seat plane reportedly hit the building hard enough to penetrate to just short of the elevator shaft. One tenant suffered what are described as serious but non-life-threatening injuries. Another was treated and released from a local hospital. Canada's Transportation Safety Board will investigate. The U.S. Air Force says 70 of its airmen face punishment for their involvement in an accidental cross-country flight of a nuclear-armed B-52 bomber. The service says its investigation found rules for handling such munitions were ignored. Major General Richard Newton, the Air Force Deputy Chief of Staff for Operations, said, quote, "There has been an erosion of adherence to weapons handling standards at Minot Air Force Base and Barksdale Air Force Base," unquote. Additionally, Newton says the 5th Bomb Wing has been decertified from its wartime mission. As reported by the Associated Press, the weapon involved was called an advanced cruise missile. That's a stealth weapon developed in the 1980s with the ability to evade Soviet radar and carry a nuclear warhead. The weapons were being decommissioned and were flown by B-52 to Barksdale Air Force Base from Minot, North Dakota on August 29th. The B-52's crew did not know they were transporting nuclear warheads. Among the highest ranked to receive punishment was 5th Bomb Wing Commander at Minot, Colonel Bruce Emig, who served as the base commander since June. Four officers were also relieved of their commands. Only the missiles were supposed to be taken to Louisiana. The warheads were to have been removed beforehand, and no one noticed the mistake for over a day. An airman who spoke anonymously said a complex schedule used to track the status of the missiles was replaced by crews with a simpler informal system, although it's not known how long that practice had been used. In addition to the officers punished, 65 airmen were decertified from nuclear weapons handling. U.S. policy states the exact location of nuclear weapons is never to be confirmed publicly, but Air Force officials say they made this exception because of its importance to the nation and the gravity of this mistake. A former Royal Air Force Avro Vulcan bomber returned to the skies last week for the first time in 14 years. The UK's Defense News reports Vulcan XH-558B took off from Bruntingthorpe Airfield and flew for 40 minutes, becoming the only flying Vulcan in the world. Pilot Al Madikin said that everything worked like a dream. Quote, "We rose to 2,000 feet at 200 knots and tested the undercarriage. Then we increased speed to 250 knots and carried out a few more tests. Before we knew it, it was time to touch down," unquote. The Cold War bombers entered service in 1956 and were retired in 1984. The only time Vulcans actually saw combat was during the Falklands War. The restoration was performed to the Vulcan by the Sky Trust, which will now shift missions to raising funds for maintenance. Up next on ANN, a Soyuz TMA-10 brings home the crew of Expedition 15. An Airbus exec tells Boeing, let's stop making the lawyers rich. And AOPA protests escalating FAA rhetoric about TFRs. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply canal tips composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for October 22, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. A Soyuz TMA-10 spacecraft has brought the International Space Station's Expedition 15 crew members home. After bidding farewell to the Expedition 16 crew on Saturday night, Commander Fyodor Yuchikin and Flight Engineer Oleg Kotov undocked from the station about 3:14 a.m. Eastern Time on Sunday and landed in the steppes of Kazakhstan at 6:36 a.m. Joining Expedition 15 for the trip home was space tourist Sheikh Muzaffar Shukur, a Malaysian flying under an agreement with the Russian Federal Space Agency, Roscosmos. He arrived at the station with the Expedition 16 crew, Commander Peggy Whitson, and Flight Engineer Yuri Malenchenko on October 12th. Flight Engineer Clay Anderson, who joined Expedition 15 in June, will remain on board as a member of Expedition 16 until his replacement, astronaut Dan Tanney, arrives on the STS-120 shuttle mission later this month. Alan McCarter, chairman of the North American division of European plane maker Airbus, says his employer and America's Boeing should abandon their costly battle in the World Trade Organization over aircraft subsidies and negotiate a new trade agreement. McCarter made his comments last week in an interview with Thomson Financial. McCarter himself, however, didn't let up in his own charges against the U.S. plane maker. He alleged former Boeing CEO Harry Stonecipher prodded the U.S. government to launch action against the European Union before the WTO in 2004 as a smokescreen for troubles at Boeing. He also claimed Boeing has received over $24 billion in government subsidies. That's more than double the official charge from the EU. But McArthur, a former U.S. Air Force pilot, believes more would be accomplished if the WTO case was thrown out. Quote, why not skip the national histrionics and the lawyer-enriching trials and hearings and go right to the negotiating, unquote. Boeing says the EU is vastly overstating what the U.S. government has paid Boeing over the past 30 years. The EU claims at least $10.4 billion. Boeing argues it has received only about $750 million in actual subsidies over that period. McArthur calls the WTO battle the centerpiece of Boeing's PR campaign to beat Airbus for the Air Force's KCX tanker contract. Whichever side wins that deal will provide the Air Force with 179 planes over 15 years. The FAA is using language in recent notices to airmen which suggest a greater willingness to seek criminal penalties against pilots who inadvertently overfly security areas. Phil Boyer, president of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, is urging the FAA to soften its tone and urging pilots to pay closer attention. The NOTAMs now say, quote, any person who knowingly or willfully violates the rules concerning operations in this airspace is subject to certain criminal penalties under 49 U.S. Code 46307, unquote. Boyer has written a letter to the FAA which points out in part, quote, it is not uncommon that the average pilot has to pick through pages and pages of irrelevant and unrelated NOTAMs to find these important airspace restrictions, unquote. To pilots, Boyer says, quote, we work to prevent unnecessary TFRs. The ones that are in place are intended to protect national security. We must do our part to abide by these rules. No excuses, no exceptions, unquote. The National Transportation Safety Board released its preliminary report last week on the fatal October 3rd crash of a home-built Very Easy that claimed the life of its pilot. WKTR-TV reported Jeffrey Arnold of Suffolk died when his plane clipped a barbed wire fence and the nose of the plane hit the dirt in a field near Chesapeake Regional Airport in Virginia. The NTSB said improper use of the speed brake might have contributed to the crash. Investigators also noticed some problems with control cables, noting some cables revealed flat spots, chafing kinks, and looped strands. Arnold bought the experimental a few years ago and recently had it inspected, according to the station. His girlfriend, Georgia Devers, told investigators Arnold intended to test the aircraft's speed brake on the accident flight. Witness Carol Hoskins, who saw the crash while driving on Route 17 and pulled over to attempt a rescue of the pilot, said she saw the plane going down but didn't think it would hit the ground. Quote, "I thought he was going to come back up, but then when I looked over and he was still going low, I knew something was going to happen, and that was a shock," unquote. Still ahead, will rumors of drunk astronauts make NASA better? The newest and oldest planes fly for Northwest. And USC's football team gets a scare in the air. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, October 22, 2007. I'm Paul Platt. Recent anonymous allegations that astronauts have shown up drunk for launches were buzzing across the news wires a few weeks ago and became fodder for late-night jokes on TV. But astronauts themselves appear unfazed. Scott Kelly, commander of the last space shuttle mission in August, told the Associated Press, quote, "We're all professionals. It's just such an absurd thing to think that someone would even do that. I don't have the words to describe how ridiculous this whole thing is," unquote. A panel found that NASA astronauts adhere to an unwritten rule that alcohol is forbidden 12 hours before launch, but is consumed freely at other times in crew quarters. Former NASA flight surgeon Dr. Jonathan Clark, who lost his wife Laurel in the 2003 Columbia tragedy, said he actually sees an opportunity in the bad press. Quote, "It's like a football team that's got a really bad record. You've got to pull yourself up and reinvent yourself and do a better job. In my estimation, it could be one of the best things that happens to NASA," unquote. If nothing else, Northwest Airlines is a study in contrasts. The airline pointed out last week that it boasts one of the youngest fleets of aircraft on international routes. Northwest CEO Doug Steenland commented Thursday as the airline accepted its 32nd Airbus A330. Quote, "With this delivery, we now have the youngest international fleet of any North American carrier," unquote. But wait a minute, that's international routes. What about all those DC-9s still flying on domestic routes? As of 2004, Northwest's 150 DC-9s averaged 34 years old. Steenland said the airline is looking into when and whether to replace the DC-9s. He says the airline is interested in an equivalent modern 100-seater built from composites, but of course such a plane doesn't exist yet. The DC-9s are relative gas hogs compared to the more modern Airbus A319s and A320s in Northwest's fleet, but they're paid for, and Northwest owns them outright instead of leasing them. Within the last 5 years, Northwest outfitted its DC-9 fleet with new interiors, so from a passenger's eye view, they probably look just fine. A chartered plane carrying the University of Southern California football team suffered a sudden drop in altitude Thursday due to extreme turbulence during a severe thunderstorm. The pilot had to go around on the first attempt to land in South Bend, Indiana. The aircraft touched down safely on the second attempt just before 9 p.m. local time. USC Sports Information Director Tim Tessaloni told the AP that some of the 125 people on board the Delta 767 were tossed from their seats. Quote, "It was a little bit of a roller coaster drop there for a minute. Everybody's fine, but it was a frightening little dip there," unquote. The only injury on board was to defensive end Lawrence Jackson, who pierced the inside of his mouth with a popsicle stick during that drop. Fortunately for the Trojans, the opposing team Saturday was not scary at all. USC blew out Notre Dame's Fighting Irish 38-0. That's the most lopsided USC victory in the history of the 79-game series between the two teams. And finally, a 47-year-old British man quit his job, tossed his wife out of their home, to build a Boeing 747 flight simulator in his bedroom. John Davis is a graphic designer who holds a glider pilot's license. He now runs a full-time flight simulation business from his home in Coventry, England. He spent about $31,000 over 8 years building the sim. Gizmodo.com says it has car bucket seats for the flight ops positions. Davis elaborates, quote, "The main screen measures 12 feet by 9 feet, and I made it myself, and there's a 19-inch flat screen on each side. The autopilot system, throttles, and weather radar was sourced and purchased from the internet. The cockpit I made myself from wood. The software I use is a Microsoft Flight Simulator for the visuals, as well as the AeroWinx PS1, which has about 30 different programs," unquote. For all his obvious commitment to the idea, Davis says business is a little slow, but he only started in June. He charges $130 per hour and $850 for 6 hours. He's personally logged about 2,500 hours in the 747 simulator. Davis says he had to get rid of his wife so he'd have room for the project. Call me skeptical that he made that decision. Well, in any event, not to worry. I'm sure he has to drive the girls away with a fly swatter now that he has it completed. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves. We'll discuss situations in which it's important to turn off the autopilot and fly the plane ourselves. And if you haven't done so already, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.